WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm J.K. Canepa.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for March 19th, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Ecologic Collective member J.K. Canepa is joining us today.
Today's Ecologic is part of our ongoing Celebration of Nature series. Cephalopods, they're just awesome.
Our guest today is Ian Jones. Ian, tell us about yourself.
Hello. So I'm a PhD student towards the end of my program in the joint program between MIT and Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. And most of my graduate research is about squid behavior and how they respond to sound, specifically how they respond to underwater construction sound.
And we link to two of your papers on that from our website, ecoradio.org.
Yes, thank you. Most of this project is centered around expansion of offshore wind farms and the construction noise associated with that. So what we're mainly concerned with here is the source of sound called from pile driving, and that's when these really large, like, cylindrical piles are driven into the seabed as a platform and a foundation for a wind turbine. That's a very loud sound that carries, like, many miles away from the source, and there's concern for how that might affect important fishery species and ecologically important species, and longfin squid, which is a locally abundant and commercially important species, is what I specifically study. So I've been looking at various aspects of their behavior in lab experiments, like any predator defense responses and feeding behaviors to this pile driving sound.
Have you networked with European oceanographers on this? I know that before they put wind turbines in the North Sea, they studied the effect on birds. Have they done that with squid and other marine species since putting them in? Have they come back?
So this is the first time we've really looked at this kind of noise issue for any cephalopod. We do have a lot of good research just on the sound and how it propagates out from a construction site based from European studies with their wind farms. And they've done a lot of study on effects of that sound on marine mammals and also some fish like European sea bass. But this is the first time we've really looked at it in cephalopods.
Let's go back to basics. Let's start at the beginning. People
sure.
who hear the word cephalopods say that might be a foreign language. You've already mentioned squid. What are the other cephalopods?
Yeah, so cephalopods are a group of animals that includes squid, cuttlefish, and octopuses.
Not octopi, huh?
That's an ongoing lingual debate.
Really?
But from a lot of scientists I've talked to, like, octopuses seems to be the common term. You could call it octopi if you want. You know, I won't judge.
So, Ian, I was wondering, are you folks consulting with BOEM, Bureau of Oceanographic something management?
Oh, yeah. I should have mentioned that. So we're funded by, BOEM is the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management.
Right.
And
right.
The research I've been doing is funded by them. And yeah, they're concerned with, regulatory concerns of trying to, they're overseeing regulations for, expanding offshore energy. So we have more renewable energy, rely less on fossil fuels, but do that in a way that has minimized impact to the natural environment and important fishery species especially.
So when BOEM and NYSERDA did the presentations on our own offshore project here in the lower New York Harbor off of the coast of Long Island, they presented several years ago on the migration patterns that they were studying for, you name it, for things above and below the ocean. And and I was wondering if, since this is cutting-edge research, cephalopodic-edge research that you're doing right now, are they revising their plan? In other words, instead of pile-driving, there's a way of putting in a floating wind turbine, am I right?
Correct.
Yeah. Are they hearing you about these things?
So, for pile driving, it's mainly used for relatively shallower, more near shore, and deeper or further offshore is more common. Floating turbines are more commonly used.
Ah.
But I think gradually there's been more and more of a push towards the floating turbines because, like you were mentioning, they don't involve this pile driving, which is generally the loudest part of this whole process, louder than the operational noise of a wind farm, louder than, the shipping noise associated with, ships going back and forth to do this construction and maintenance on the turbines. So anywhere we can reduce the level of pile driving and still have, from an engineering standpoint, effective platforms, I think it's a positive thing.
So let's talk about how important these animals are and why we should care about them. We're all enamored here at Ecologic about the beauty and the intelligence of these animals. There's a few factoids, like they're not an animal, they're not a plant, they're not a fish, they're their own genus. Is that correct? And they're so intelligent. One of the things that caught our attention in deciding to do the show was this study that is happening right now, or that happened, that shows the intelligence of the animals. They're one type of animal that is actually able to delay gratification. Like you give them a fish that's a shrimp that's dead, and the cuttlefish waited until he got the more tasty morsel of the live shrimp. So he was, if just that is so important. So yeah, I mean,
dogs can't do it. Politicians can't do it.
Dogs would never do it. Politicians would never do it.
No, I read
that. Trying to train the teenagers don't do it either.
I read
more training.
It's super exciting. Actually, one of the authors on that, Roger Hanlon, is on my thesis committee as well. So shout out to him. I mean, they mentioned that this was in that paper that this was the first evidence of self-control in a non-primate animal. So beyond like humans and monkeys and apes. It's just amazing what we continue to see, like new abilities, new types of learning, new cognitive abilities in cephalopods that haven't been shown in any other invertebrate, or that's animals without a spinal cord.
Speaking of animals without,
to impress us.
They don't have ears either, Ian, so we're talking about them perceiving sound.
They don't have ears in, I would say, the traditional kind of mammal-centric definition of what we consider an ear. People have gone back and forth debating what is actually hearing and what isn't. I'm personally, and people in my my lab, or Aaron Mooney's lab, and who's my advisor at Wits Hole Oceanographic, we're of the opinion that if an animal can detect sound and respond to it, it's definition enough that they're hearing, even if they're doing it in a completely different way from what we are. So our ears and other mammal ears detect the pressure of sound, like fluctuations or changes in pressure in the sound wave. But instead, cephalopods have what's called a statocyst, and they're like these paired structures in their heads that have one on each side. And they have these little, kind of dense structures in there which act kind of like an accelerometer detecting, instead of changes in pressure, they detect what's called particle motion, which is this vibratory, it's back and forth motion of particles in a sound field. And that's what the squid actually cues in on. So they sense it in a different way, but they still sense sound and response to it. Like if you play them a loud sound, like we have done in our lab experience in a tank, they may ink or jet or change colors and patterns of their skin, which are all responses to predators. So if you play them a loud sound, their behavior indicates that they're perceiving it as some threat, and they react to it. So,
but do they have a favorite playlist?
But they still, they still have sensory structures. So I should say, yeah.
And you mentioned about them changing, color and everything. And I think one of the most fascinating animals on the entire Earth is the mimic octopus that can imitate all different animals. It can imitate plants. It can imitate rocks. And there's videos on YouTube where you see the octopus land on a rock, and then it turns into the rock. And you actually, even though you saw it land, you can't tell where the octopus begins and the rock begins.
Right.
It's just amazing. I've watched that video many, many times because it's just, how do they do that?
Yeah, I've seen those videos too, the mimic octopus is, very impressive, almost instantaneous.
They're
able to match backgrounds. And the idea is that, even though we've observed this so many times, it's still so little we understand in specific species, like the mimic octopus, for example. We still understand so little about the actual. I mean, we understand that it's camouflage and probably predator avoidance. But for the mimic octopus, it's not just camouflage. They seem to be resembling like flatfish. They've been compared to like sponges or lionfish or sea snakes. So it does suggest that possibly, yeah, like as has been shown in other groups of animals, they're actually maybe trying to pretend to be another animal, whether their predators actually are fooled into thinking that, you know, hasn't been determined, but it certainly suggests that that might be the case. It's really cool.
So I guess the question is whether it's avoiding predators or attracting prey or attracting food.
Yeah, so for these different kinds of displays, they're often called body pattern changes because they're not just changing the colors in their skin, but also resembling different patterns. So those have two different kind of main purposes in avoiding predators, and this is true for both for squid, cuttlefish, and cephalopods, and octopuses across different cephalopods. So, you know, what you first want to do is probably try to avoid being detected by a predator at all, right? And that's where camouflage comes in, trying to match in with your background. But if that fails, or if, say, the cephalopod is already moving around foraging and not matching its background, and a predator does detect them and approach them, they have another set of different body pattern changes that they could use to startle, or what sometimes called bluffing a predator. And that's these kind of things we sometimes see videos of, like a kind of animated, complex, very like colorful, you know, passing bands we sometimes see in color cuttlefish. That's called like a passing cloud display. For squid, you may also see them like turn suddenly like bright red or bright white, these very like dramatic changes. And those often serve to they often make a predator like hesitate and like think twice before like coming in from attack. And
the
term bluff kind of refers to them making themselves look maybe more intimidating or threatening than they actually are. And yeah, that can serve as a really effective way to escape predators. Whereas, you know, these cephalopods, they're all pretty, they're all soft-bodied, so they don't have any of these, like, don't have really armor or anything else like that. They rely on these really complex.
They rely on their brains, you know?
Yeah.
They rely on their smarts.
I want to tell listeners, while you're watching the mimic octopus on YouTube, look up the psychedelic cuttlefish.
Oh my God! I want to see that.
And it's like it gives you like a light show, like from the Fillmore. I mean, it's a rock and roll light show, being done by an invertebrate in the ocean, and they'll show a video of a predator going after it, and then it turns on this light show. The predator stops, and the cuttlefish sends out some ink and runs away. But of course, the people want to film this, so they're following the cuttlefish around. The cuttlefish trying to scare the person, and it's not working because it's attracting us.
Poor cuttlefish.
Yeah.
Do your research subjects that seem to recognize you, Ian?
Yeah, that's something. Not something I could really speak to. I know. In terms of like recognizing, I know not in squid, but in octopuses, they've been, you know, they're able to discriminate between visually between different objects and shapes. And, you know, that plays into their camouflage. But in terms of, yeah, recognizing or remembering a specific, you know, a human or as like an experimenter, yeah, I'm not sure if anyone's looked at that. But they are, you know, a lot of cephalopods do have good, long-term memory. Maybe it's possible that they...
We're running out of time. Like, I've read that octopuses have three brains. Is that a euphemism, or are they actually three brains?
They do have one, like, central brain. None to my knowledge have stuff... would have like several.
So they're just using the word brain.
You might be thinking of hearts, though, because they do have several hearts. octopuses.
They are amazing in so many ways. And the squid that you study is the major squid that we're eating when we go to a restaurant here on the East Coast, right?
Speak for yourself.
But yeah, it is a very commonly caught species for food. So there's a good chance that that might be our local squid might be
not
what you're eating.
Reciprocal arrangement, though, right? These are little guys. Right.
Right. They'll grab a person, but they won't eat it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I hate to say it, but time flies when you're having fun, and unfortunately, we are out of time.
Boy.
I know it goes fast, right?
Even when we were an hour,
people would say it went fast. So, Ian, please briefly give us your website and contact information, and we'll also be putting that on the, if it's not already there, on our website. Ian?
Oh, sure. If you want to reach me, ask me anything about squid, you can reach me at ijones, that's I-J-O-N-E-S, at hui.edu, that's W-H-O-I, .edu. And I don't have my personal science web page, but I could refer you to my advisor's lab page, the Mooney Lab at Hui. I don't have the specific URL in front of me, but I could provide that.
We have it on the website. No worries.
We have Woods Hole's website. And I wish we could ask you about, you know, do cephalopods eat plastic? Is that another worry about it?
No, we didn't get into
that. But we're just running out of time.
We'll talk about that in the green room, and eventually that'll be up on our website, the additional, after the show talk. So we will have more information coming up. Not that quickly. We have a lot to edit. Go ahead.
And eventually this will be I hope it will be on Environment TV. On MNN, which is be both on their website and on your tube if you live in Manhattan, and on YouTube. And Charlie puts it all over the place, so you'll be able to see what Ian does and what he looks like. So
you can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming public hearings and people who are making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM. Pacifica is facing a new threat, and your vote will be needed. Now is the time, until April 7th, to renew your membership at WBAI. This is a very important appeal. If you are not sure that you have renewed since April 7th, please err on the side of caution and do it now.
And
BAI,
of course,
Pacifica, Ecologic needs you.
Of course, we'd love you to be a member in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic.
And our email list to be informed when the shows are posted. Those of you online, go to www.ecoradio.org. And again, please sign up on our mailing list.
To listen to this show again and any of our past shows, and to get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as how a passive house survived the Texas deep freeze and public hearings on proposed Dance Camera fracked gas plant, go to our website.
Join the Stop Dance Camera Coalition on March 23rd to learn more. Details are on our website, www.ecoradio.org.
And breaking news. Just yesterday, North Brooklyn residents filed a lawsuit against both New York State and National Grid for permitting the Greenpoint LNG liquefied natural gas port, violating environmental justice and climate laws.
Wow.
That's www.ecoradio.org. There are many video and audio versions of Ecologic available to you for a donation to WBAI.
Go to www.give2wbai.org and put Eco-Logic in the search box in the upper right corner.
It's a win-win.
And a big thanks to our great engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm J.K. Canepa.
I'm Sally Gillard.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday, March 26th at 2:30 p.m.
WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. President Biden and Vice President Harris are meeting with local community leaders today in Georgia's capital to discuss the shooting tragedy. The previously planned visit to Atlanta had initially been intended as a victory lap for the passage of the president's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package, which won approval in the closely divided Senate thanks to Democratic victories in two Georgia runoff elections. But Tuesday's shootings at area massage spas that killed eight people, including six women of Asian descent, abruptly changed White House plans. Meanwhile, the suspect's longtime church condemned him in a lengthy statement this morning, saying that 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long had committed, quote, an extreme and wicked act that had prompted leaders to remove him from the congregation. Now, as investigations focus on what motivated him to open fire on three Atlanta area spas, leaving eight people dead, there's a brewing debate over whether he should face hate crime charges. Long told investigators that he had a sex addiction and that he saw the spas as, quote, temptation he wanted to eliminate. Under Georgia law, Long could still be charged with a hate crime, even if there's no finding of a racial motive. Protected categories include not only race, but gender, religion, and national origin. If convicted of a hate crime, that could make him eligible for the death penalty. Captain Jay Baker, the spokesman for the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office, has been removed from the Atlanta mass shooting case. Baker sparked outrage when he said Robert Aaron Long was having, quote, a really bad day. The comments have been widely criticized as inappropriate and insensitive to the victims. The situation was made worse when it became widely known that Baker shared an image on Facebook of a T-shirt with the slogan, COVID-19 imported from China. Get yours while they last, end quote. The judge overseeing the murder trial of Derek Chauvin, a former Minneapolis police officer charged in George Floyd's death, today rejected a defense request to delay or move the proceedings. Earlier this week, Chauvin's lawyer asked the presiding judge, Peter Cahill, to delay the trial and move it outside the city. Chauvin's attorney is arguing that news that the city had settled a $27 million wrongful death lawsuit has tainted the jury pool and that his client cannot get a fair trial in Minneapolis. On Wednesday, Cahill dismissed two of the seven jurors who had been seated in the case after they told the judge the settlement announcement might compromise their decision. The trial is scheduled to begin March 29th. The United States is planning to send a total of 4 million doses of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine to Mexico and Canada in its first exports of shots. The White House said Thursday. The Biden administration has come under pressure from allies worldwide to share vaccines.